Well, hello, my brothers and sisters, and welcome back to the ABCs of Christian Growth. Today, we're going to go back into our study of the letter D and the fourth study in the letter D entitled Devils and Unclean Spirits. Now, we've only had one lesson so far, and more or less an introduction to this lesson. But we're going to dive into it today and study some specifics of what the Scriptures say concerning devils and unclean spirits. Now, we're not talking about what all the movies say and all the theaters and the actors and the producers and all this, that, and the other, and what they think about devils and unclean spirits. We're going to go into the Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, which we do in all our studies, and that's all we want to know is what saith the Lord. What does God's Word say? And that's worth knowing. That is truth. Thy Word is truth. So in recapping a little bit of our last study, we went over some definitions of devils and unclean spirits, and we basically came out understanding that it's to charge or to slander, or what the Bible calls the devil himself, the accuser, to accuse, to accuse. And we also studied about the word demon. Demon seems to be a very popular word in the world, in the world today, and used by many, including this generation of preachers and teachers. But in the King James Bible, in your Bible, that Bible does not use the word demon. I understand that when people say demon, they might mean devils, or they might mean the devil, or whatever they might mean. But the Scriptures only use the words devil, speaking of Lucifer, or what his name was changed to, or the ones that followed him, devils. And then it also goes into the Scriptures. We studied several verses that said that devils are also called unclean spirits by the Lord. He called them that himself in some of the Scriptures. You remember that? Now, in the Webster's 1828, that dictionary there, we seen the word demon, and we looked it up, and it not only said that that it's included as a definition concerning a holding or a middle place between men and the celestial deities of the pagans. That's not Bible doctrine. That is the Catholic doctrine called purgatory, but that's not Bible doctrine. There's no place between us and the Lord. If you're saved, there is no stopping off place or anything like that. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now, we're talking about this word demon, and if it's going to describe it as anything having to do with describing pagans, then we don't want anything to have to do with that. Now, I don't know about you. You might, but not me. I don't want anything to do with anything that has that talk that gives credit or tries to define paganism. It says the ancients believed that there were good and evil demons. That's false. That is not Bible doctrine. There's no such thing as good and evil demons. There's no such thing as a good devil. A good devil. And we'll see that as we get into the Scriptures. The Bible said about Satan himself, Paul said, that I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Now, if he said that about himself and a human being, then what could possibly be good in the accuser of the brethren that caused the fall of man? Or had to do with it, yeah. Demons became the object of worship. They are out to seek their own worship, and that's not Bible doctrine as far as demons go. It was supposed that human spirits, after their departure from the body, became demons, and that the souls of virtuous men, if highly purified, were exalted from demons into gods. Now, so what is that telling us? That's telling us that this demon is described as a human spirit. After they leave their body, they become a demon. Now, is that what the Bible says that happens to you? And that the souls of virtuous men, saying that this soul of this body that has become a demon, it can be virtuous enough and purified enough to exalt itself from a demon into a god. My, oh my, what a bunch of confusion. A bunch of confusion. The Bible does not speak of that in any way, form, in any kind of way at all. It talks about unclean spirits and or spirits and evil spirits or spirits. The unclean spirits or spirit is used 20 times in the New Testament, literally, the word itself, with unclean devil used one time. The Lord Jesus Christ did speak unclean spirit in his own speech in the Old Testament. Unclean spirit is also used one time in the book of Zechariah. Now, evil spirit and spirits is used 6 times in the New Testament and 8 times in the Old Testament. The Lord Jesus Christ used it. The Bible says the words of the Lord, the words, every one of the words, not word, words, every one of those words are pure words. Not either is or isn't. One or the other. And the Lord holds us responsible for what we believe. What we believe. I believe God's word, don't you? The words of the Lord are pure words. So is this word demon in the scriptures or that has been replaced or as the some of the revisers and the fixer-uppers of God's word, they say, is that indeed demon? Is that one of God's words? Don't you think God's smart enough to put demon in there if he wanted to? He put devils and spirits. You say, well, what's the big deal? God's word. God's word. Why are you even studying this if you're not interested in knowing exactly what God's word says? We can go anywhere and hear what man has to say. We want to know what God's word says. Then we will be clear about what God thinks. And when we stand before him, we will have nothing else to say to him except, Lord, that's what you said in your word. And he'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. God's going to back his word up. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth purified 7 times. They're pure. Thou shalt keep them. God's controlling them. O Lord, thou shalt preserve them. What? The words? What words? The pure words. What pure words? The words of the Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Forever. The Lord tells us another thing, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, what these things? The words of this book. God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Now, that ought to just, that, I mean, a Christian shouldn't have to argue with that not one bit over one little old stupid word that has to do with pagans and everything else. That shies me away from that mess to begin with. Anything looks like it's wicked, the Lord said, to avoid it, pass not by it, turn away. So the Lord gives us permission not to accept even words that are not in his word. They changed the virgin into a young woman. Are those two words the same? Of course not. They have nothing to do with each other. Is a virgin the same thing as a young woman? Not today it ain't. And not before it ain't. A virgin is a virgin, and a young woman is something completely different. A young woman can be a virgin, but that's not what the Bible said. Now, getting in today, let's start our study for today. What are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about the nature of devils and unclean spirits, the nature of them. Well, the first thing is that devils and unclean spirits are evil. Are evil. All this hocus-pocus stuff in the world today and all this television garbage and all these things that try to make devils somehow or unclean spirits somehow look like they're virtuous in a way or can be good or can be friendly or can be this, that, and the other. That's not what the Scripture says. The Scripture says they are evil. They are evil. And if you don't think they are, try to talk about them like I'm doing right now. And I know that you participating in this study right here, you're going to have problems listening to this because unclean spirits and devils are going to stop you or try to stop you from hearing these things. And you'll see that. Look at this, just take the word devils by itself. You'll see something interesting. Take the word devils. Look at the center four letters of the word devil. You take the D off the front. Take the L or the S off of the back. What do you got? Evil. That's something. I mean, it's just a coinky dink, ain't it? Coincidence. Isn't that something? Demon. You ain't got nothing in that. But devils, you can expect something like that in the Scriptures. They're so perfect. I mean, when you rightly divide that word, the Lord shows you some things and reveals some revelation to you and gives you new revelations about truths and gives you understanding about things. I just thought that was interesting that that particular subject and that particular study, devils and unclean spirits are evil, would have the very word in the very center of it. Coincidence, I guess. But definitely an identifier. It's an identifier, isn't it? Unclean and unclean spirit is self-explanatory. Unclean. Anybody that can't sort that out and know what the meaning of unclean is, and of course in 2023, this world has become so deceived and so pagan and so ungodly, they can't understand what unclean is because just like Peter said, they take pleasure in that kind of stuff. The uglier it can get and the most unclean it can get, they take pleasure in it, and the Lord's going to pay them back for it. Now, in this dispensation we're living in, especially today, presently, the subject of evil has been redefined both morally and naturally. And those two words right there are interesting words and interesting subjects of what we're talking about today. And keep those in the back on the back burner as we study this. Morals and natural things. The word evil today is a word for entertainment and humor and has been turned inside out to mean anything who points the finger and declares what the Lord says. Evil. Devils and unclean spirits are evil. The Holy Scriptures say so. They are not 50% good and 50% evil. They are like Satan. There's no truth in him. John chapter 8, verse 44 says, "Ye are of your father, the devil." The Lord Jesus Christ wasn't talking about the unclean spirits and talking about devils at that particular time. He was talking to human beings and said, "Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do." He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. Because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. For all you people think it's rude to call people liars, your Lord did. He called that whole bunch standing there children of the devil. And he said that they were like him. There's no truth in them. They're liars. Yeah. When you start studying the Scriptures, you're going to find out what the character of your Savior is. And it's not like this little lovey all the time Santa Claus kind of Savior that just come up there and he just can't wait to give you a nice warm fuzzy hug and kiss you all over and never. That's not like the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not like him. Devils and unclean spirits are not 50% good and 50% evil. They are like Satan. There's no truth in them. John chapter 8 and verse 44. Let's define evil according to the dictionary. Well, evil means to be unjust or injurious. Now listen to these things, whether see if you can hear anything good and kind and considerate and thoughtful and all these kind of characters and all these kinds of virtues. See if you can hear anything in the definitions of these things. To be unjust and injurious, to defraud, having bad qualities of a natural kind, we'll study that. Mischievous, having qualities which tend to injury or to produce mischief. I know some people, as I was growing up, you'd hear them talking about a child, and they would say, man, that child is evil. Now, what are they talking about? They was talking about that he had the qualities of these bad things, that he was evil. Having bad qualities of a moral kind. Now, keep that in mind because we'll study that concerning the nature of devils and unclean spirits. Natural kind and moral kind. Having bad qualities of a moral kind, wicked, corrupt, perverse, wrong, and evil thoughts, evil deeds, evil speaking, and evil generation. Moral kinds of evil. Natural kinds of evil, mischievous, and having qualities which tend to injury and to produce mischief. Natural. And unfortunate, unhappy, producing sorrow, distress, injury, or calamity, evil tidings, evil arrows, evil days. Evil is natural or moral. Natural evil is anything that produces pain or distress or loss or calamity, or which in any way disturbs the peace, impairs the happiness, or destroys the perfection of natural beings. That's natural evil. And that doesn't mean it's good. It's just natural. Now, moral evil. Moral evil is a deviation of a moral agent from the rules of conduct prescribed to him by God. That's why you have a generation and you have a world nowadays that wants to get rid of God and get rid of his rules. Because they don't want to be up under his rules and they don't want to have a conduct that's prescribed by God. They don't want to do what God says. Moral evil is any deviation of a moral agent from the rules of conduct prescribed to him by God or by legitimate human authority. They don't have all the rebellion going on against authority in 2023 is out of this. It's uncomprehendable. The whole world is arresting police for doing their job. I mean, it's just gone nuts. Nuts. No authority at all. Don't want it. By legitimate human authority, or it is a violation of the plain principles of justice and rectitude. That's moral evil. For instance, civil evil, which affect injuriously the peace and prosperity of a city or state. That's civil evil. Political evil, which is evil that which injures a nation in its public capacity. There's all sorts of evil, but they all have one thing in common. They're not good. They're not good. All wickedness, all crimes, all violations of the law and right are moral evils. Diseases are natural evils. They're bad, but they come from nature somehow or another. Natural evils, like diseases, they're natural evils, but they often come from moral evils. Like, for instance, what was it they used to call? I'm trying to think what they used to call the sodomites. They call the sickness that they had. They called it. It's called AIDS, but AIDS was not the original name for that. It was something else. I can't remember. But it was a natural evil that was produced by a moral evil, you see. And the Lord said that. In Luke chapter 7 and verse 21, the Bible says, "And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities." What's that? That's a natural evil. "And plagues," that's a natural evil. "And of evil spirits. And unto many that were blind, he gave sight." Do you think a blind person thinks not having sight is evil? Of course it is. It's bad. But it's natural. It's natural. It's not a moral evil. It could turn into one, but just describing evil. Listen to this in Luke at chapter 8 and verse 2. "And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits." Now, what's our lesson about? Devils and unclean spirits. "And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils." Seven devils. Now, it's either true or it's not true. Seven devils. Acts chapter 19 and verse 11 through 15 says, "And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs and aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them." Just by a handkerchief off of Paul. Now, that was something that God particularly gave to Paul in order for them things to be done. "Then certain of the vagabond Jews," listen to this, "exorcists," those are the ones that mess around with evil spirits and unclean devils, and I think they use that word demon quite a bit in that sort of matter, "but vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Who are ye?" And then we know, of course, what happened after that. They jumped on him and beat him up pretty bad and stripped his clothes off of him and left him running from them. So the first thing that we see is devils are unclean spirits. Devils and unclean spirits are evil. We know that, don't we? That's what the Bible says. Nowhere in the Scriptures, anywhere, anyhow, anytime, under any condition, has there ever been any devil or unclean spirit in the Scripture referred to with virtue or goodness, and especially not holiness. Secondly, devils and unclean spirits are powerful. Now, these are truths that you need to accept and believe as truth in your heart. First of all, they're evil. So what's that tell you about them? Stay away from them. You have nothing to do with them. They have nothing to do with you. The Scripture says, resist them and submit to God. It don't say fight them and hold your fist up to them. It don't say invite them into your house. It don't say have fellowship with them. It says avoid them. Resist them and get away from them and submit yourself to the Lord. Secondly, devils and unclean spirits are powerful. The Lord nowhere in the Scriptures tells us to fist fight with a devil or an unclean spirit or to challenge it. It says to resist them. Luke chapter 8 and verse 29, the Bible says, "For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oft times it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness." Of course, that's talking about one of the two men, the maniac of Gadara, the man that was crazy, and everybody was scared of him because you couldn't tie him, you couldn't control him, you couldn't tame him. He was just nuts, kind of like some of these dope heads today. They're nuts, and they have, especially on this, I forget what it's called, this new, not new anymore, but some of this, it's not fentanyl, it's another one. They get on that stuff, and it is straight from the devil. I mean, there's all kinds of devils. You don't think it has to do with devils and unclean spirits have to do in the dope world. You better think again, because it does. And right here it tells us that for oft times it, who, the unclean spirit, caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands, handcuffs, and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. They're powerful. You talk to the police today, and I bet any one of the policemen, 9 out of 10 that you come about and question about this, have you ever seen a human being that it took more than 6 or 7 people to hold down and to subdue? They'll tell you, yeah, and they'll tell you a story about it. About people doing some incredible things being on this dope, but it ain't the dope that's doing it. I mean, a human being just physically in their body are not strong enough to do some of these things. They're not strong enough, and they have feats of incredible strength, and it's from the devils, and it's from the unclean spirits. They're powerful. The Bible tells us all the time about people that are possessed and they're taken over by unclean spirits and devils, and that they have they're powerful and they're strong. Acts chapter 19 and verse 15 and 16, listen to this. "And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know and Paul I know," like we read a bit before, but here's the rest of it. "But who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded." It said, "And the evil spirit answered," and he caused the man, the evil spirit caused the man to leap on them and have enough power within that body, the devils did, that they prevailed against 7 men, that all of them took off running after he ripped all their clothes off and beat them all up, beat them all down. Do you know any man that can do that? Well, besides in these movies and these superstars and all these Hollywood strong men, do you know any man, natural man, that can then beat up and beat down 7 men? A regular man? I'm not talking about a trained military man. I'm talking about a regular man. Not many. Not many. But the Scriptures tell us that this man had an unclean spirit. He had an unclean spirit. And it was powerful. Now, have you seen the things in the news lately? Average men and women being so strong that 5 or 6 or 7 men can't hold them, even after they cuff him? Now that stuff's going on today, right now. Do you know any average man or woman that can whip can whip that many people at once? Maybe there's some exceptions. Probably been trained in the military and the Green Berets and the Navy SEALs and all them, and they've been trained to do that kind of stuff, but not a regular man, not a human being. Devils. That's the exception to the rule. That's not the rule. The rule is man ain't strong enough to do these kind of things. They're devils. Devils. Devils and unclean spirits are not only evil, but they are powerful. That's what the Bible says. What else? Devils and unclean spirits are numerous. There are lots and lots of them. They're all over the place. The Bible says in Mark chapter 5 and verse 8 and 9, "For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion." Now watch it. "My name is Legion, for we are many." You're talking about a singular name, Legion, "for we are many." Now, I've looked up and I've heard people preach about this matter of Legion. He was named Legion. The Lord told him, "What's your name?" He said, "My name is Legion, for we," speaking of everybody else, all the other devils and unclean spirits that are along with him in that man, "are many." Now, I studied that word, and the way a lot of people describe it is the way that the Romans used to use the word legion to count how many men were in a unit that fought. You had squadrons, and you had all these other identifiers of how many men. You had a squad, and you had it was words that they used to describe the amount of men that were in a unit. Okay, and that was one that legion was used, and it was a big one. But one just basic definition of it is a large military unit, a vast multitude. In an archaic kind of way, and the old definition of it means a vast multitude, an army, amounting to a large, indefinite number. He said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Now, to narrow it down to a specific number, I tried to see if I could find that, but it was a whole bunch, and I believe it was, between 5,000 and 6,000, I think, was what the Romans said a legion was, and then they counted down from there. They would break a legion up, and it would become two of these. Then they would break these two up into four, and it would become this name. Okay, so a legion was like you went from 2 to 20 to 100, and then all the packs of hundreds would get together, and it would make this, and then all them packs would get together, and it would make a legion. But this devil says, "My name is Legion." And I think what he's saying there is that, "My name is Legion, for we are many." He's saying, "We're an army in this man. My name is Legion, for we are many." A large, vast multitude. And then it went on, and the Lord counted. They begged the Lord, remember, they begged the Lord to not send them away, but to send them over into those hogs. And the Bible does tell us how many hogs were there. It said there was about 2,000 that ran off the cliff and went nuts after they went into the hogs. So there was at least 2,000. A vast multitude of devils and unclean spirits were in that person. And they called themselves Legion, or he called himself Legion. He was the leader of that army that was in, an army of unclean spirits that was in that person. You say, how can that be? I don't know. The Lord said it was. And he made him name himself. And he said the reason that he was cut, his name was Legion, was because he was the leader of many that were in him. For we are many. Devils and unclean spirits are numerous. Just think. The devil has an army big enough that he causes trouble all over the world and battles all over the world, good against evil. What else? Well, devils and unclean spirits, are unclean. They're not only evil, they're not only powerful, they're not only big in number, numerous, but they're unclean. Now, what is unclean? Unclean is the opposite of clean. I mean, you don't have to be a Greek professor or a Hebrew whatever to break down the word unclean. You ask any child what unclean means, and they'll tell you. Well, Brother Thurman, it means that you got dirt on you. Or you need to clean up. You need to go wash. You need to wash your hands before you eat or something. They know what unclean is. But I think this is a matter of unclean the way the Lord describes it. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 1, it says, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits, to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases." You see, the Lord gave them power to cast out what? Unclean spirits. To cast them out. And what happens when the unclean spirits are cast out? All sicknesses and manner of diseases are healed. You see, unclean concerning devils and unclean spirits is that they cause sickness and diseases and all the evil things that we talked about in the very first part of this study. Unclean spirits are not only evil, they're not only powerful, they're not only numerous, they are unclean. And everywhere in the scriptures that the Bible talks about devils and unclean spirits, it never talks about them being good or kind or virtuous or loving or a good devil or a white witch or, you know, I mean, even in the witch society, they have good witches and bad witches. That's not Bible. That's not Bible. The only thing the Bible says about witches concerning their character, it says, "Suffer not a witch to live." Now, is that a clean thing that the Lord would be saying something about, or an unclean thing? There's no such thing as white witches and good devils, virtuous devils, devils that mean no harm. Devils and unclean spirits are under Satan. Are under Satan. He is their prince. Now, what does this word prince mean? And you'll see it as we go through the scriptures here. But prince in the scripture, this name, this should give you some examples. For instance, in the scripture, the name prince is given to God. God is called a prince in Daniel chapter 8. All right, it's given to Christ, who is called the Prince of Peace in Isaiah 9, and the Prince of Life in Acts chapter 3. To the chief of the priests, the Prince of the Sanctuary in Isaiah 43. It is given to a Roman emperor, or spoken of as a Roman emperor in Daniel chapter 9, Prince. The men of superior worth and excellence in Ecclesiastes chapter 10. It's given to nobles and counselors and officers of a kingdom in Isaiah 10, prince. I mean, prince is not an individual word for an individual thing or person or it's used all over the scriptures. It's given to chief men of families or tribes in Numbers chapter 17. And then lastly, what we're to be in line with what we're studying, it's given to Satan, who is called Beelzebub, who is called the prince of this world in John chapter 12, and the prince of the power of the air in Ephesians 2. He is a prince. Devils and unclean spirits are under Satan. He is their prince. He is their ruler. He is their leader. He is their authority. You see how the scripture was breaking down the principle of what prince means, even to having to do with God, with the Lord Jesus Christ, with the chief of the priests, the Roman emperor, the men of superior worth, superiority, nobles and counselors and officers. You see that? So Satan, who is called the prince of this world, John chapter 12. Of course, we know that's temporary because the Lord's going to come and he's going to be the prince of this world soon. He's going to be in charge of everything. The prince of the power of the air, he is called in Ephesians chapter 2. And he is also called Beelzebub, which is Satan. And remember what they said, well, let me read it to you. In Matthew chapter 12, you say, well, where's Beelzebub come from? Well, that's what the Pharisees called Jesus, remember? Listen to this. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fella doth cast out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. Now, who's they talking about? Talking about Satan. They're saying that Jesus was having Satan, Jesus was casting out those devils by Satan. Now here's the way that Jesus replied. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom, like my kingdom, God's kingdom, the Son of God's kingdom, or the devil's kingdom, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan, did you notice that? What they called the Lord was Beelzebub, the prince of devils. Well, the Jesus knew their thoughts, and he described what they was thinking right here. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I, by Beelzebub, Satan, cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man? And then he will spoil his house. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. You see how the Lord answered them, and all of them were basically on the same subject. The Pharisees were trying to incriminate the Lord and could say that he cast out devils and unclean spirits by Beelzebub, and referring to him as probably being Satan or affiliated with Satan. And the Lord used the word Satan and Satan's name and said, how can that happen? Satan's not going to fight against himself. Now, how can his kingdom stand if he does that? You idiots. I added that. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 24 through 30 there. Now, did you notice in the scripture that Jesus did not disagree with them that Satan is the prince of the devils? He didn't. As a matter of fact, he confirmed it. He confirmed it. So what have we learned today? Let's recap just a little bit. What are we talking about? The nature of devils and unclean spirits. Now, these things that we've been over, you can believe. Why? Because we've been looking at the scriptures. God's Word says what we've been talking about. Devils and unclean spirits are evil. There's nothing good or clean about them. They're unclean. That's why the Scriptures calls them that. So don't let anybody talk you into thinking that they are virtuous or that they have good intentions. They do not. They are evil. They are unjust and injurious. and defraud. They have bad qualities. They're mischievous. They have qualities which tend to injury and produce mischief. They have bad qualities of moral kind. They are wicked and corrupt and perverse, wrong. They have evil thoughts, evil deeds. They speak evil. And they cause evil generations. You never see in the scriptures that somebody that is possessed by a devil or an unclean spirit, that Jesus commands devils and unclean spirits to enter people. It's always to exit, get out. Why? Because they're causing bad things, injurious and defrauding and mischievous and injury and mischief. And anytime anybody approached the Lord about devils and unclean spirits, it was for his help to get rid of these things. But these spirits and unclean spirits and evil spirits and devils, get rid of them. Why? Because they were causing bad things to happen in the person they were in. You don't ever see the Lord inviting devils and unclean spirits into people like some of these idiots that do nowadays. If you're messing around with unclean spirits and devils, stop. Get away from them and get away from the people that are messing with them, because they will hurt you. They will cause sorrow and distress and injury and maybe even calamity. They will cause you to have evil days. You'll become corrupt in your heart because they are corrupt. You will commit wickedness because they are wicked. And they will not cause anything good to happen in you, in your thinking and your abilities, or in your character or in your actions. Stay away from them. Avoid them. Pass not by. Resist them and submit yourself to God, and they will flee from you. You have to be against them and submitted to God on purpose before they'll leave you alone. And then they will try. But they know better when you're submitted to the Lord. They are evil. What else? Well, we talked about that they are powerful. Don't try to get in the ring with an unclean spirit or a devil. There's many stories, and I could tell you some personally that have happened to me, but I won't right now. Possibly through this study, I'll bring it up. But there's some things that's happened to me as a result of me not trying to be Mr. Strongman, but just how would I put it? Trying to take a privilege that is backed up by God's authority, and we're not to provoke on purpose. We're not to, the Lord doesn't tell us to attack devils and unclean spirits. I don't find that in the scriptures. The Lord says resist them. Now, I believe the more mature you get and you use the Word of God continually and everything else, and I'm not talking about the exorcist and the man holding the Bible and the cross and all that kind of stuff and having power against them. God's Word, they run from God's Word. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the Word of God. But they're powerful. When you recognize one, resist him, and submit yourself to God. Don't try to play games with him like you want to get in a boxing ring with him, because he'll beat your brains out. They are strong and they are powerful. And I'm not telling you to fear them. God's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. But that's to submit to the Lord and trust in his power and his words and his commandment. He's the only one that has power. You notice that the scriptures, anytime the somebody was casting out devils or ordering them to get out of people and leave them alone, that the Lord's words were what done it. And some of them even resisted the Lord's words, but the Lord gave the disciples asked the Lord, how come we couldn't cast these ones out? And the Lord said, these are more power. These devils only come out by prayer and fasting. In other words, they resist and they're a lot more rebellious and stronger. But his words, they left immediately after they whipped up on the one they were in. So they're powerful. The Lord doesn't tell us anywhere to be scared of them, but he says that you need to respect them as far as their power. And that's not respect as in reverence. That's respect as in know your abilities and your capabilities of as being a Christian and the power. Don't try to use your own power. Rely on God's power and the Word of God. And the Bible tells us to resist them and submit to the Lord. It's not running from them. It's resisting them. They're powerful. What else? Well, they are numerous. There's lots of them. Lots and lots and lots of them. Lots of them. Enough of them that they attack the Lord, and there's going to be wars where there's going to be millions and millions and millions and millions that are going to fight in battles because of these unclean spirits and devils. And there's enough of them to handle the world's governments and drive the powers that be on high, the powers on high, the Bible says. Devils, unclean spirits are unclean. If you're being, if somebody's trying or somebody's trying or there's thoughts in your head that that the devils are putting there, that there's somehow virtuous devils and there are well-meaning unclean spirits, you're being lied to because they are not. They are unclean and they are evil. Nowhere in the scriptures does the Lord ever compliment the work of an unclean spirit or the devil. There was one in the Old Testament that came before the Lord that said that he could go down and convince the kings to go to war. As a bunch of lying preachers. And he did, and the Lord approved it. But the Lord never told him, good job. He just said, go do it. Because that's an idea. That's satisfactory. Go. But he never complimented the devil for his work. The Lord can make the devils do anything. He just tells them, and that's it. And they do it. But he uses unclean spirits and devils to do to get his will done, but not because he approves of their being, because he's going to destroy them. They're going in the lake of fire. And there's some tied up already in the pit. Bottomless pit. The Lord doesn't like devils and unclean spirit. He's against them. And he tells us to be against them and resist them. What else? Well, lastly, is that they're under Satan. They have a prince. They are organized. They have levels of authority. They're organized. And they are. And the more you serve the Lord, the more you'll see how organized they are. Because they try to know what the Lord is doing with us. Everybody that works for the Lord and does for the Lord and tries to preach and teach and take care of church, you can see where they're always trying in an organized manner to try to mess up God's program and what God wants to get done. And you can see that. and they have certain authorities. Some are more powerful than others, and Satan is their prince. The Lord Jesus Christ showed us that through his conversation that we read just a minute ago. So there we go. All right. So we've learned quite a bit about devils and unclean spirits, and that should cause you to, since we got it from God's Word, you should believe these things. Believe these things. Go believing. And just mind the Lord and mind God's Word. This is not a topic that I like to talk about. I don't like talking about the devil and unclean spirits. But number one, because they fight against it like we're talking about. And you always have trouble trying to study it. But you need to know these things. And you need to come on and keep on studying this no matter what. And they're going to give you trouble now. There's things that's going to come up and things that are going to just, they're going to try to cause you to resist learning these things because they're not only God's words, but it's about them. And your enemy doesn't want you to know about him or know what he's up to. So let me give you these scriptures right quick, okay? And you can take them down for today's study. The first one we started with was John chapter 8 and verse 44. And Luke chapter 7, verse 21. Luke chapter 8, verse 2. Acts chapter 19, verse 11 through 15. Luke chapter 8, verse 29. Acts chapter 19, verse 15 and 16. Mark chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. Matthew chapter 12, verse 24 through 30. And those are the scriptures we went over today. Now, the ones that I was giving you when I was describing, when we was talking about the prince of the devils, and I showed you in all the places where prince referred to referred to God and referred to Christ and things like that, that word prince. Let me go ahead and give you those scriptures too. Prince, in the scripture, the name prince is given to God in Daniel chapter 8. It's given to Christ in Isaiah 9 and Acts chapter 3. It's given and spoken of the chief of the priests and the prince of the sanctuary in Isaiah 43. It's given of the Roman emperor in Daniel chapter 9. It's spoken of the men of superior worth and excellence in Ecclesiastes chapter 10. The nobles, counselors, and officers of a kingdom in Isaiah chapter 10, talking about prince and descriptions of princes, is spoken of as the chief men of families or tribes in Numbers chapter 17, and spoken of as Satan in John chapter 12 and Ephesians chapter 2, and then Beelzebub, the one we read where the Lord was to rebuking those fellows for calling him or saying he was participating with the devil. The Lord does not do that and has never and doesn't intend to. He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Matthew chapter 12. Okay? All right. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Lord we have. And thank the Lord for teaching us about our enemy. Resist the devil, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We're talking about devils and unclean spirits. In the next study, we're going to go into the subject of some abilities of devils and unclean spirits according to the scriptures. Hope you'll join us. Try not to let nothing stop you. It's a harder study to participate in than others, but come on back and let's study together. The Lord bless you. above measure for honoring Him and His Word on purpose. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian growth. Bye-bye.